Sunday morning clap offering, amen. Whether some stayed in bed, whether some went to the lake today, to the beach today, there's a remnant. There's a people that came to the house of God here this morning, amen. Let's give them another clap offering, amen. Worship team, you may have your seat, amen. God bless you, good job. Praise the Lord, amen. You may have your seats here this beautiful Sunday morning. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It took me years to figure it out. It's amazing that in the winter when it's snowing out there and the conditions are really bad, that is when we have our best attendance. And I guess people talk amongst one another and say, man, it's snowing today. There's a storm today. Ain't nowhere else to go. We might as well go to church. And then we have a beautiful sunny day. I mean, just a perfect Northern California sunny day. And now many opportunities are opened up at the beach, at the lakes, and things that are going on right now. And I have nothing against, but I tell my leadership, you go after the service. Enjoy yourself. Knock your socks off, man. Time and place for everything, amen. There's a time and a place for everything. I'm all about having fun. I took off on a ride the other day and I had a blast, amen. But it didn't interfere with church, it didn't interfere with my time in prayer with the Lord, amen. It was something I did after I did what I had to do with the Lord. So I'm speaking to the ones that are not here, amen. So I'm not speaking about you guys, amen. So let's get into God's word here this day. A lot of things are taking place, a lot of events around the corner, and because of the good weather, amen. And that's why we got to really press in and being sensitive in our time that we spend with the Lord, amen. Been on a series on the regards of holiness. I'm going to continue to speak on holiness today, amen. It's going to be a real simple word, but it's got a revelation for those that are needing further holiness in your life, for those, amen, that something is pending. It's going to be a simple revelation, but if you get it and apply it, it'll bring great, great change within your life. The title of this morning's message is Set Apart to Do Our Part. Set apart. How many have been set apart here this beautiful morning, not by your doing? Set apart by who? By Jesus, amen? Set apart to do our part. There was a time that we weren't set apart, so we couldn't do our part. But today, through the doing of Jesus at the cross of Calvary, amen, He has set us apart in order for us to do our part, amen? Before I get into the message, I want to share the greatness of our ministry that many times I don't speak on. I break God's word down and so forth, but a lot of times I don't give honor or credit where it's due. And our ministry is all over the world right now in settings like this. There's some congregations that are packed out on this day. There's some real pioneering small works that are taking place and 15, 20 chairs up in the building and a little storefront. And that's where we start. The humble beginnings. The Bible says don't despise humble beginnings. Because we started off with a little 15-seater ballerina storefront place where we started in the building of this church 16 years ago. And I just need you to know that our ministries all around the world, internationally, in over 30-some countries. Amen. We're moving into Germany right now. Amen. And real powerful. They're purchasing a property out there. I don't know how much it was, but I don't know. Pastor Sonny picked up $250,000 at the Mighty Men of Valor. Amen. 50 pastors came up and gave $5,000. He had $250,000 in minutes to purchase this huge 2 mega properties for we could open up shop In Germany, amen? Not on the north side, on the south side, but in Germany, because we got it like that, amen? And there's not only pain here in Milwaukee, addiction in Chicago around the corner, but there's pain also in addiction in Germany. There's an epidemic taking place out there, amen? And one of the buildings is much bigger than this church, and it looks identical to an old-time, wartime castle. They call it the castle. And it's built like a castle, like a fortress up there. And it belongs to Victor Outreach now, amen? We have a castle now, amen? Bunch of ex-this and that's coming together. So we need to know that we're not just an isolated church here, you know, this Sunday morning, but we have churches all around the world, amen? I'm going to open up with the two verses again. I've been opening up with the weeks. I think it's very key that we know that there's a greater power in us than there is in this world. No matter how much that world has whipped on you, amen, there's a greater power present here this day. And because of that greater power that is present here this day, that's why our ministry is just not in Milwaukee or Chicago, but all around the world, working through ex-drug addicts, ex-this and that's, and then some, and doing a powerful work for God's glory and God's honor, amen. So let's give the Lord a clap offering. Be blessed to know that you're part of an international ministry of a people like you and I, amen. And we call ourselves family, amen. When we went to the conference, there was black, white, brown, every color, every tattoo, every gang tattoo that known to this planet called the Earth was there, amen? Not one fight kicked off. You have all these gangbangers in the same building, amen? Nobody went like this to one another, what's up, what's up? None of that took place. There was brokenness, amen, and hearing the message, amen, that has set us free. A power that's so much greater than the one that had us out there. And they still got that little gangster look. They still walk like a gangster. Some of them still dress like a gangster. But within their heart, amen, they're a gangster for Jesus. Amen. They've been set free by the power of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, speaking about two powers, and two different results of these two powers. And verse 15 says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. Amen? The Bible records, I'm not going to read the whole verse, that there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift that he has available for each and every one of us here. This day tells us that the power that Jesus has to offer your life and my life, that there's a great difference of the power that the Lord has to offer than the one the enemy has to offer. Amen? And in verse 16, we find out also the great difference in results of these two powers. And the Bible reads, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. Amen? There's a great power, a great move of God through our ministry currently right now as I'm speaking around the world. Around the world. Is it Puerto Rico where the pastor's building his church? It's not Puerto Rico. Cuba. And Cuba. Allá en Cuba. They are in a communist place where you can't have church, and a pastor's been having it in a park. And he started growing the church and growing the church and growing the church. And Pastor Sonny got wind that this cat was out in some lot, you know, in a place where you're not supposed to be praising and worshiping Jesus in Cuba. And all of a sudden, doors started opening up where they allowed them to have a church. And then all of a sudden, because our ministry is so large, amen, and because we're under not only the greater power, But the greater results, amen, that now they're building a big old monster church there in a communist country in Cuba, amen, because there was a man that all he did was read Treasures Out of Darkness. He read about Pastor Sonny's conversion of being a heroin addict and now being the founder of a worldwide international ministry. And all he had to go off of was a book to start raising the church. And right now, the videos are so powerful because it's not like they go to Home Depot or Menards and go buy all their bricks and supplies. It shows the men from the rehabs and stuff out there making their homemade bricks, amen, out of mud. And you see these guys making and running back and putting another brick and an excitement. I mean, and it's a poverty video when you see it. You would probably say, I wouldn't use those bricks in my house. But there's an excitement taking place. And this man that nobody knew about, but God did, all of a sudden is speaking at one of our conferences. And not because he's noticed now, but he's a heavy preacher. Speaks perfect Spanish and broken English. But he came with it, man, that he's ready. And he would stomp his feet and it would go through the whole building, a big old dude. He looks like a black brother from the north side. And he's a Cuban. Excited about what Jesus did in his life. Excited what he's doing all over the world. Amen. We're getting results in places that Jesus shouldn't even be at. Being spoken about. But now even the place of Cuba has given them access, a place to build their church. And Pastor Sonny once again stepped in and helped with a lot of the finances to make homemade bricks. And them cats are moving quick, man, like they're on crack or something, amen? But they're not. They're excited. They're full of the Holy Ghost, amen? They're moving a little bit quicker than the crack addict, amen? And they can keep moving all day because they're excited in what God is doing and what he's about to do in a temple instead of in an open lot out in a field. The greater power of the two, the greater results of the two. Amen? There's a great difference when one surrenders their life unto the Lord than unto the things of the world. As we get into this morning's message, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Once again, I'm speaking about holiness. Speaking about holiness here this day, amen, which simply means making changes in one's life. Amen? Holiness. The Bible reads here in verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. How many have ever let sin control the way you lived? For 1 year, raise your hand. 2 years, raise your hand. 3 years, four or five, let me skip all the way to about 25, 30 years, raise your hand. And the only reason for some of you that sin didn't reign in your life for 25 years is simply because you're 20 years old. The Bible records, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. Holy Spirit, we give you full liberty, full permission this day to move as you would want to move in the greater power, to move as you would want to move where we could have the greater results here this day in regards to holiness, in regards to making those much needed changes within our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. I believe many here this day have a basic desire, I put in my notes, to live a holy life. I believe here this Sunday morning, if I could come with a little magical wand and say, brother, what do you want? What would you want to change right now? And you would say, and I would go, bing, and it would change. I believe all of us have this day a basic desire to live a holy life. It's what you want. It's just not happening. But I believe that there's some here this morning that simply believe that it can't be done. You want it. But as you want it through your past failures and defeats, as you want it with that same thought, you're believing that it just can't happen for you. Maybe for the brother sitting next to you or the sister, but not for you. You just can't do it. Some of you might believe here this morning that you ain't as bad as you used to be. But you've settled down to a life of complacency, which neither you nor God is pleased with. Have you ever not been pleased with your life because of the results that have come forth? Day goes by, you say, dang it, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that. And you try to bring something back that has already gone forth. And you wish it didn't come out the way it came out. It wasn't a slip, it wasn't a mistake. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you're in a place right now which neither you nor God are pleased. Many of you have tried to live a holy life by a few certain things I want to speak on this day. You've tried to live a holy life by one, your own willpower. Man, I got this. I got this. I've messed up here so many. I got this now. You're trying to live a holy life by your own willpower. I can do this. I can do this. It's not too late. I got this in control. I can live a holy life. I ain't that messed up. I got this. And you're trying to live a holy life on your own willpower. Some of you are trying to live a holy life here this day by faith. Claim it. Claim it. Just claim it by faith. Claim it by faith. God will do it. He can do all things. Claim it. And you're trying to live a holy life, trying to make changes in your life by having faith. But remember that faith without works is dead. You're a claim it kind of a person. I got faith, Pastor. I got faith. All right. Some of you are trying to live a holy life by praying all the time with yet no results, no success behind all of your prayers. You pray and you pray and you pray, but there's no answers to your prayers. You're still the same man, you're still the same woman. I spoke with the leadership. We have a meeting at 7:30 in the morning downstairs. And we have a big furniture sale on the south side. The hood just got paid, man. It's the second today. Felipe said it was the first while we were picking up the community. It was the first week of the month is what it was, but not the first. Today's the second. I never know what the date is. The only reason I know is because We're going to have a furniture sale today. And I know the hood just got paid. We can knock out $700,000 out there that we need like air right now. And your pastor already got his shirt and his pants, his tennis shoes and his nasty shoes there ready to go out there and sling some furniture. I prayed this morning that we would have a good furniture sale, that it would be successful. Amen? And even if God heard my prayer and it came from a good heart, I just can't pay that prayer. Now I got to get my butt in my blue jeans and my tennis shoes and back up to prayer. I got to go to the south side now to allow that prayer to come to pass. Too many times we pray, but we're not doing what we got to do to bring those prayers that we pray to pass. I believe some here are trying to live a holy life by reading books, bestsellers, authors, such and such. You're reading, trying to live a holy life by reading books. Number one best-selling books on the market right now. You're underlining just about everything. You're highlighting. You got pink on it. You got that green highlighter. You got purple highlighter on it because it's speaking to you. You're getting the revelation and living a holy life. Reading books to the secret of living a victorious life. And you're willing to pay the $15, the $20, $35, $50 for that book. You got a whole shelf of those books. Because basically all of us want to change. All of us want to do better. All of us want to live a holy life. We don't want to stay where we're at. But after a while, I put here, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we discover we're still experiencing defeat at the hands of our sinful nature. You might be at a place right now wondering, what is wrong? You're in question with your life. Whether you've never experienced the things of the Lord, or you have, and you let them go, and you're trying to get back in position. And you're wondering, what's taking place right now? In my life, you're in question. The enemy loves people that are in question with this and that and things regarding to your life. In other words, you don't have the answer. You're in question without an answer. In question. And why can't I make it? I'm doing everything Sally's doing. I'm doing everything Billy's doing. Why is he making it? Why is she making it? In question. Why are others getting the victory and I'm not? In question. Is my sinful nature worse than theirs? Am I that bad of a person? Satan's job is to confuse us in two areas that I'm going to be speaking about here this morning. Satan's job is to confuse us in two areas. One, what God has done for us, his part. He don't want you to know what God has done for you, for one. He don't want you to also find out what is his part. And two, Satan's job in confusing us, also not only what God has done for us, his part, but what we must do ourselves, our part. And that's why the message is titled, Set Apart to Do Our Part. Let's first get understanding in what Christ has first done for us. Let's go to his part. It's going to sound like it's our part. And here's where you're going to get a revelation here this day. Amen? Here's where you're going to get a revelation. This is the Lord's part. It's going to sound like our part, though. The enemy would just love us trying to do God's part. Can you imagine? We can't do our part. We want to do God's part. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The Bible reads, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, sounds like our part. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ, Jesus, in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Tell your neighbor, you're no longer a slave to sin. You could be sinning it up right now, and I'm gonna prove to you this day through God's word that you're not a slave to sin no more. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Amen? We'll talk about God's part. Romans 6, let's go to 1 through 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 again. I need you to pay attention if you want to get the revelation. Amen? Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Verse 2 says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined, the key word here is joined. Amen? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ, Jesus, in baptism, we joined him in his death? Verse 2 says, of course, since we have died to sin, you got to listen between the lines. How can we continue to live in it? Somebody that's dead can't continue to sin, amen? No matter how much of a sinner you were. I put here, outside of Christ, it's impossible to die to sin. When I was out in the world doing my thing, I never get tired of giving my testimony, because there's men, women, and youth that need to hear it about the power of God and what God is able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life. From a big-timing dope dealer to a dope fiend. Years and years in prison. Amen. I couldn't stop sinning. If you gave me $1 million, I could. It would have made me sin more to my death. Nothing could stop me from sinning. Mom, not dad, I don't care what her name was, I don't care what the prison name was, what the street corner name was, what the dope was. Nothing could stop me from sinning. Outside of Christ, it's impossible to die to sin. Us dying to sin is not something we do. but something Christ has done. It's his part. I don't have to do nothing, Pastor. I like this message. I'm liking it. Because we're talking about his part right now. We're going to finish with our part. Us dying to sin is not something we do, but something Christ has done. It's his part. Verse 3 says, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Amen? In baptism, I got baptized on a prison yard, amen? In a horse trough, amen? A big old round horse trough full of water. I remember like yesterday, even though it was 20-some years ago, it was a whole prison yard. And I don't know why, but on that particular day, I guess the inmates didn't have nothing better else to do but to go get baptized. We were all posted up, you know, in white boxers, you know, everybody, you know, walking hard, tattoos, everything. And some white people at the baptism doing the baptizing. And all these killers, ex-cons and everything. And I was at the end, amen. I must have smoked 20 cigarettes before it was my turn to get in the water. Everybody in boxers getting baptized on a prison yard. Everybody getting dunked. It was something different, something you don't do every day in the prison yard. So we said, why not? And I remember by the time I got to that water was black. I'm not high on drugs no more. I'm clean and sober. I'm healthy. And I said, oh, my God. So I not only got in that funky water, amen, I had to go down in that funky water, amen, after hundreds of prison dudes had been in it. Just go there with me for a minute. Come back. It's Sunday morning, amen? We have a brand new baptism right here. You pull it up, it's got marble steps, and it's got the faucets, it's got a heater. I pimped it out. It's so nice we haven't used it yet, amen? Just leave it alone, man. I know it's there. It's countersunk. So much strategy went to building that. So that one day, some people could get baptized in some clean water, amen, and not have to encounter what I did. The baptism of water, amen, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? The baptism of water is simply an outer confession that says Jesus lives within your life. It's something after you give your life to the Lord. Amen? It's something that we do in obedience to God's word. And I remember after getting out of prison and being in the Salinas Victory Outreach Church there in Northern California, would have numerous of baptisms, and I had such a bad experience, man, and that baptism, amen. But it worked, where I never had to go baptize myself again because people were doing it, amen. It was a one-time deal, and it worked, even though it was on a prison yard with a couple of hundred men, convicts, dipping in that water, amen. Right before that, I had given my life to the Lord, but I was still smoking, still thinking evil, still knowing what was going on in the yard, still looking out for my life, not knowing nothing about Jesus, not knowing the purpose and the call of God that was right around the corner for my life. I didn't know about the greater power. All I knew that the power that had me in bondage. I didn't believe that there could be any greater power than the one that had me in bondage. There was just no way that there was a power greater than the addiction that gripped my life for many years. All the way to ODing over and over and over. There just couldn't be a greater power. There just couldn't be any type of results that could help a man like me. So the water baptism is something saying, I'm in Jesus. I'm letting everybody know I'm a Christian here this day. It's an outer confession of what Jesus has already done within your life. And when we do that, amen, we join him in his death. The water baptism is important. Because as we go down, it's as we go down in the death of Christ that took our sins at the cross, and when we come up that new creation. So the water baptism, you can be in prison and do it. And too many times something that easy could be thought of, it's too good to be true. How was the dumbest move I've done, clean and sober, jumping in a pool of water like that dirty? So it's something that we identify ourselves in Christ in what he did. In what he did. Amen? And then he goes on to say, in his death, which we know as the cross. The cross. It was at the cross where he took the sins of the world. His part. Not your part. Not my part. But the Lord's part. Where he took our sins at the cross. So one way to join in Christ through the water baptism, but another way to join yourself in Christ is through salvation. When you confess the Lord as Lord and Savior of your life, you repent of your sins, Jesus comes into your life. And at that point, as you receive Christ, you receive what he did at the cross. Your sins at that point are forgiven, even though you're still a sinner. Stay with me. Amen. It's probably still confusing. I'm going to give it a little bit more. Amen. In verse 6 and 7, the Bible reads, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, please. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So when I gave my life to the Lord, amen, sin was broken in my life. When I baptized, I was also joined in the Lord, an outer witness that says, Jesus is my life. I am no longer Brother Charlie. I'm a brother of the Lord now. I'm a son of the Lord. I identified myself now as a Christian. Still full of sin, though. Still had errors in my life, bondages. In verse 7, it says, set free from the power of sin. So how do we get set free? By what Jesus Christ did at the cross, allowed us to be set free from the power of sin. Amen? That was his part, his doing. So that's why nobody's no longer, though you might feel like a slave to sin still, because you're still doping. It is not a truth. If you've given your life to the Lord, Jesus has set you free from the power of sin. Stay with me. Not pertaining to your upbringing or the life you lived before, but pertaining to what Jesus did at the cross, you have been set free from the power of sin. Let's now go to doing our part. Question: why is it so hard to get the victory? Why is it so hard to get the victory? For when we died with Christ, when he died on the cross, we were set free from the power of sin. Why then is it so hard to be victorious? If God, through his Son, has already done his part, why do we still struggle? I'm going to give you some good insight today. It's simple. Psalms chapter 51, verse 5. The Bible reads, this is David speaking when he sinned and messed up with Bathsheba, amen? David the psalmist right here. He says, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. You want to know a reason that it's hard to get the victory? Because I don't care if you got raised and was born at the best hospital on the right side of the tracks. All of us were born sinners. We've been sinning for a long, long, long time. I'm 55, amen, for a long time. And David, I don't know if he was trying to get some brownie points with the Lord and say, cut me some slack, man. I was born in sin. I've been like this for a long time. From day one, we have been developing sinful habits. We look at a baby, oh, she's so innocent, or he's so innocent. Look how cute he is. And we do all this stuff. And the truth is, because of the sin of Adam, we're all born into sin. It was something we didn't do. It's something that we inherited from the Garden of Eden, amen? From day one, we have been developing sinful habits. There's a sinful nature that still is active within our lives, even though Jesus conquered all sin at the cross. Galatians 5:17 backs up what I'm saying. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. We all got good intentions. And even though these two forces, even though one is so much greater than the other, the truth is that we have developed sinful habits within our lives since the day we were born. More or less being brought up on the wrong side of the tracks with not too good of parents or no parents, brought up in the system. It's ingrained in your life. It's a habit forming, a way that we respond to things. How many can say amen?
Pastor, I've been jacked up for a long time, Pastor.
I told the Lord, you can't change me. When I was in the prison system, you can't change me. Yeah, I might give up this and that because I want to give it up, but you can't change me. I was so convinced that I couldn't change. So I might just get away while I can get away, while I can get away with it until I get busted. We were born sinners. But it took practice, years and years of it. It took practice to develop our styles of sinning. It took years to develop our own style of sin. That's why some were alcoholics, some were crack addicts, some were heroin addicts, manizer, womanizers, or some are all the above. I was jacked up. I was not one of those most likely to succeed in the church. Nobody had to tell me. I knew it. But little did I know that there was a greater power taking place in my life, a greater plan with greater results that was stirring within my life that I knew nothing about, that one day I would be preaching about. The old sinful nature was disciplined, in other words, trained toward ungodliness. I didn't remain smoking a couple of joints a day and having a few beers. I continued to discipline and train myself and hanging out with the wrong company, doing the wrong things. And as I continued to discipline myself in ungodliness, I got worse and worse and worse. Were mom's tears, dad's tears, my girlfriend's. Nobody could stop the locomotive that got started off with a couple of puffs off a joint. The old sinful nature was disciplined, trained toward ungodliness for years and years and years. I put here sinful habits practiced for many years. As Christians, we can tend to sin out of habit. Be at church 5 years, 10 years, and just out of nature, out of instinct, you find yourself sinning just out of habit. You're not even making it, you're just doing it. It's your DNA, it's just part of you. It's just a habit. Ungodliness is just a habit. As Christians, we can tend to sin out of habit. It is our habit to look out for ourselves instead of others. When the Bible says we should consider others more than we do ourselves. Do you guys know that I really love you guys more than I love myself? Do you believe that? When I first started walking this walk and talking this talk, I could say that, but I couldn't back it up. As Christians, Scripture says that we consider others more highly than ourselves. But it is our habit to look out for ourselves instead of others. It is our habit to live for ourselves and not for God. It's a habit to live for ourselves, to do what we're going to do. I'm the one working. This is my money. Give it to God. What? I'd rather give it to the dope man and know that I'm going to get something back, whether it's bunk or not. Give it to God. Live for God. It's in our habit to live for ourselves and not for God. It don't happen overnight, people. Matter of fact, we will spend the rest of our lives, I put here, putting off these habits and putting on new habits of holiness. Yep. Pastor, am I that messed up? Yes, you are. I'm sorry, you are. You are. But the good news here this day is that you don't have to get it overnight. It's a process. The power of what Jesus did at the cross was a one-time atonement. He didn't have to go back on the cross again and again and again. And too many times through our sin, we put him back on the cross again and again and again. That the blood that was shed by Jesus was a one-time hit quitter, man. There was power in it. Where he didn't have to repeat the cross again. Because of the power that took place on that day for your life and my life. I put it here, you need to take your salvation seriously. You need to take your salvation seriously. Willpower? Check, didn't work. Faith, faith, faith? Check, didn't work. I'm going to read this book. It's a Joyce Meyer's book. It's The Battlefield of the Mind. Ooh, that sounds good. That's what I need. I need that. It's right here. It's right here. No, you need one book, and that's the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You need to take your salvation seriously. That's where it lies right there. Because the Bible says we're no longer slaves to sin. That the power of sin has been loosed off of our lives. You're no longer a slave to sin. You need to take your salvation seriously because it works, I put here. Keep working at it. Don't give up. Not only have we been, past life, slaves to sin, but we still live in a world populated by slaves of sin, temptation. We still live in a world overpopulated by slaves of sin. Some that are your friends are still slaves to sin because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They haven't been baptized. They haven't been joined into what Jesus did at the cross. And you're hanging out with a powerless person. But Pastor, it's my cousin. Pastor, it's my father. It's my daughter. You take your salvation seriously. We're not just playing church right now. This is the church. And because this is the church, you better believe the devil's here behind everywhere I'm speaking right now. He don't like these messages being preached. He wants you to continue to try to do God's part. And he wants you to allow God to do your part. When we all failed and failed miserably. Not only have we been slaves to sin, past tense, BC, before Christ, but we still live in a world populated by slaves of sin, temptation. Though we've been delivered from sin, we have. We're no longer slaves to sin. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did at the cross. Sin has lost its power. When we join ourselves in union in Christ. Though we've been delivered from sin, we have not been delivered from its attacks. Sin is still well and alive. Though we've been delivered from sin, we have not been delivered from its attacks. Romans 6, 12 and 13. This is our part to do. The Bible says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body, because when I was sinning, doing my thing, I was all in. I mean, all in. Every part. All in. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument. See, an instrument ain't an instrument until you play the instrument. Until whatever it is. That keyboard can't make noise unless I come. And there's no, come on, give me some keyboard. Oh, DJ's gone, man. I killed it right there, man. Got to start all over again. Let's go back to the first opening screen. No, man, that was part of my, like the balloons the other day, man. Just, ay, 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 okay. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument. In other words, played. Because how many know we're instruments of the Lord? Not instruments of evil no more. An instrument's meant to be played. It's meant to make a sound. And if it's out of tune, it'll make a very ugly sound. But if it's in tune, when it's played, it's able to do what the instrument has been made to do. What sound are you making here this day? Because there's a sound that reaches the ears of the Lord. That there's an aroma that reaches the nostrils of the Lord. Because this instrument's going to be used one way or the other. And the Bible says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. So in other words, our bodies are meant to serve, whether it's sin. Our bodies are meant to serve. So not only what noise have you been making lately, what sound, but who you've been serving lately. Become an instrument of evil to serve sin instead. A comparison here. That's what you're not supposed to do. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, like I said I did to the enemy. Give yourselves, if we can give ourselves completely to the enemy, we can surely give ourselves completely to God. For you were dead, I was dead 15 times over and over. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Not to do what's right for me, the leadership, this church, this city, because I didn't save you. Jesus saved you. And through his grace, he gives us an opportunity to join him, to be united with him, so that sin may lose its power within our lives. So we can be an instrument to do. Tell your neighbor to do what is right for the glory of God. That's our part. That body that you have right there, covered by clothes right now, belongs to you. It's an instrument. How you use it, it falls on you. When we sin as Christians, check it out. When we sin as Christians, we do not sin as slaves. Why do we not sin as slaves? Because we've been set free from sin, amen? That's what Scripture has told us. Because we know Jesus did his part. And we've been joined with Christ through the water baptism. For some that haven't, it's okay. The criminal on the cross didn't go say, Jesus, take me down, I got to get baptized real quick before I can go with you. He said, surely today you will be with me in paradise. But salvation, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, that's needed. When we sin as Christians, we do not sin as slaves. Because the Bible says we're no longer slaves, because what Jesus did on his part, he took care of everything, of every sin, past, present, and future. Follow me. When we sin as Christians, we do not sin as slaves, but as individuals with the freedom of choice. When we sin as Christians, we do not sin as slaves, but as individuals with the freedom of choice. We sin because we choose to sin. Not because you're a slave to sin, because that slavery's been broken off of you by Jesus. And he did a good job. He did such a good job. Scripture says that he paid the sins of the world. So when we sin, because we've learned today that sin's been broken off our lives. So if we sin as individuals with the freedom of choice. We sin because we choose to sin. We no longer sin because, man, I gotta do it. We do it because it's a choice. It's a decision. We can say no to it. Whatever it is that you're still partaking of, this day, you can start saying no to it because it's a decision. It's a choice. God has not given us that greater power to be robots, but a greater power to make the right decision. God has made provision for our holiness. In other words, God has made provision for our holiness. How? Through Christ. He's made a way out for us, a provision. But the responsibility for resisting sin belongs to you and I. Sin don't have you the way you think it does. Sin don't have that power on your life as you think it does. It's just an old way of thinking, an old many habits that have been there for so many years that you feel there's no way you can give up that alcohol, that spoon, that crack, that woman, that guy, whatever it might be. Sin ain't got you the way you think it got you. It's a decision that God has empowered you to not only make the right decisions, but to have the right results within your life. God has made provision for our holiness through Christ, but the responsibility for resisting sin belongs to us. Belongs to us. As the worship team makes their way forward. Wow, Pastor, I was waiting on Jesus. No, he's been waiting on you. He's been waiting on you. He took care of business 2,000 years ago. The day you gave your life to the Lord, you were joined in Christ in his death, and sin has been broken off of your life. But yet, we got to go through the process of the sanctification and all this. And it's hard. Why? The Psalm says that we were born. Give me that scripture again in Psalms. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. Many years of sin within our lives. I want to let you know, back in the days, they lived to be 300 years old, 500 years old. Amen. There just might be a person that's 300 years old today. Amen. Here, I want to let you know the power of what Jesus did at the cross. There's still so much power in your 300 years of sin. As we stand this day, Pastor, you mean it's my move? Yeah, it's your move. But I've been waiting for God to give me a breakthrough. It's your move. It's your move. In the game of checkers or chess, you can still win the game and make a few bad moves in the game. None of us are perfect here this day. But as Christians, we're accountable for our bodies. We're accountable for our lives. We're accountable in the decisions that we make. I thank the Lord for, you know, in checkers you have a king, in chess you have a king. You can double two chips and you have more leverage. You can move the whole board now instead of step by step. That's what the Lord wants to do right now. He wants to move in some of your old lives. But the old habit way of thinking won't allow you to see what He sees of the provision and the potential that He has already placed in your life. It's your move. It's your move. Because Jesus at the cross made the best move for each and every one of us. He made a move that no one else could make. To have us here this day. He made a move that would change my steps and my moves. Not because of who I am, but because of what He did. Some of you need to join yourself with Jesus once again and be united with this greater power that'll take you just the way you are, that'll forgive you over and over and over. But I believe the Lord's like antsy right now. He wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He ain't looking at what you're tripping on that happened 20 years ago. He ain't looking at what you're tripping on that happened last week. He's looking at what He has placed in your life that is before you to use your life. But our old habit way of thinking always looks back, always looks at our faults, always looks at what we didn't do right and what we've lost. And we keep looking back and what we lost, and we keep looking back and when we lost. When everything we need is before us, it's a choice. Sin don't have a grip on you no more. That's the old habit way of thinking. It's been broken through the blood of Jesus. You are victorious. You are a son. You are a daughter of Jesus this day. And the greater power is here this day, not only to break the sin in your life, but the greater power is here to embrace you and to love you. To say, I forgive you, you're my son. Make a choice this day to follow me. Pick up your cross, deny self, and follow me. I know it's not part of our nature to follow God. Sometimes it's so much easier to follow the lead of the enemy. This day the truth has gone forth to set not the captive, but the Christian free. To set the believer free. Know God's part, but you got to know your part. The Bible says that truth sets the captive free. Well, we've been all set free so long ago. But the old sinful nature of the old man, the old woman always kicks in as soon as our eyes wake up in the morning and open. And we keep looking back and we keep looking back in what we lost instead of looking forward in what's to gain. I'm going to make the altar call right there. Just keep playing the guitar real quietly like that. No singing. I think it's your moment. There's a few here this day. It's do or die, baby. It's do or die. It's no more playing around, playing church. It's do or die. You need to take your salvation seriously. You need to take seriously what Jesus did for you. If you want those results that He has for you, the provision that He has for you, you're looking at a guy that OD'd over 15 times, was dead and dirty and months without taking baths, from a player in the clubs at one time, to being a drug addict, walking day and out, not going for days without eating, a werewolf face, skinny, eating out of trash cans. Never did I think anybody could change me. But my salvation didn't come in a church. It came behind prison bars. My salvation came behind prison bars. In a horse trough, black of water, that I dipped in and I submerged myself in Jesus. I died with Him that day, though all I did was get in some ugly, dirty water. But little did I know that that day, biblically, I was joining my life into Christ. I was being united in what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Little did I know that my life was going to be radically transformed. Nobody would ever have been able to prove to me that my life was going to be changed. And I thank the Lord that my mom and dad got to see me saved. Every time I would go to Texas, my dad, they both had bachelor's degrees, and they would just scratch their head and look at me and say, "How did this happen? My son was dead, but now he's alive." And my dad, I know my dad is witty. I get a lot of my witty stuff from him. But he was a wise old man, and he would just look, and I would catch him looking at me, rascando su cabeza, and saying, "De donde cambió este guy? How did this happen?" And there was only one way he could look, and that was up. My dad saw me bona fide saved, a devout Catholic all his life, along with my wife, my mom. And I led them both to the Lord, holding in a circle with my wife and my little kids. The proof was before them that their son had been set free. I'm no greater than nobody here this day. I took my salvation seriously. I took my salvation seriously. 22 years later, I'm still real grateful that I'm going to a furniture sale on the south side and try to make some money to build this church. When I'm the senior pastor, I should be relaxing, watching the Golden State Warriors today. Man, Felipe brought that up to me the other day. Man, I wanted to bang. I wanted to hit him that day. But I laughed and I loved with him. He said, "No, Pastor, what are you going to do the furniture? He said, let's watch the game." He didn't say nothing wrong, but he couldn't see what I was seeing. You couldn't see what I was seeing, that it's not about furniture. It's not about the finances. It's about souls that are out there that are lost when they shouldn't be lost anymore. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with the furniture. There's people dying out there, that, and that person used to be me. Your sin don't have a hold of you as much as you think it does. It's been broken. It's your move. It's your move this day. You've heard the gospel preached to you this day. You've heard the love of Jesus preached this day. The forgiveness of Jesus preached this day. It's your move. It's your move. Whatever it is right now that's holding you down right now, you don't have to verbalize it, because the Lord is able to listen to your heart. He knows our motives here this day. Whatever it is that you wish could change, I want you to give it to the Lord by faith right now, because it has already been changed. It just happens to be your move for this chess game called life to go forward. Your move is not a stalemate. It's your move. But Pastor, I've tried everything. There's nowhere else for me to move. There's a move. And that move is brought through the cross of Calvary. You got Jesus whenever you want him. Not just on Sunday morning, but you got Jesus whenever you want him. And he won't only come to you when you're doing good. He'll come to you when you're all messed up. He'll come to you when you made that bad move on that chessboard and says, I'm still the king on this game. I still hold the authority in this game, in this world. He's the King of Kings. Nothing trumps the power of Jesus. Some of you are just going to have to surrender and repent, because Jesus is here right now. There's no reason this church should not be filled, because the sin out there is great. Whatever it is, just give it to the Lord right there. Whatever it is, just give it to the Lord. Don't even have to move your lips. Just give it to the Lord, whatever it is. And I don't want you to be covering somebody else. I want, because a lot of times people, Lord, help my husband. And we, you know, help my wife. No, I want, what do you need? What move do you want to make this day? Don't think about anybody else but yourself right now. What is it that you want to change? Because God has already done it. The Bible records and says, you have not because you ask not. Man, that's some power. Anything and everything, he's able. He has proven it to me. Things I swore up and down that could never change. I was telling, prove me wrong to prove me right, Jesus. Prove me wrong to prove me right. I'm okay. I'll humble myself a little bit more. I'll humble myself a little for her. I'll humble myself a little bit more, Lord. Because your word says you became nothing to save me. That you became nothing to save a wretched man that I was. Oh, when you had everything, Lord, the throne, you became nothing, Lord, to stoop low enough to save a life like mine. You had to become nothing, because I was nothing. But today, Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your people, Lord, Father God. And I pray a blessing over them this day, Lord, Father God. A blessing over them, Lord, Father God, that sin has already lost its hold It's a decision now that we need to make as Christians, as sons and daughters that belong to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you. And we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering right there where you're at. Praise the Lord. Say hello to somebody before you fly off and take off. Amen.